To kick things off this morning, have you ever walked into a situation and everything to the eye looked good, but something felt off? You just couldn't put your finger on it, but something just didn't feel right. A couple months ago, I had this experience. I have a spot, as we all do. And I apologize, everyone online and everyone listening to the podcast. There's a big rug here. There's been a few comments already about it. It plays a part into this morning. So that's why it's here. I'm not just making more work for Shauna. I have my spot, as we all do, in our living room on my couch. And I was heading to this spot to just watch TV or play with my kids. And I stepped on something. And it felt off. I couldn't put my finger on why. It just, something didn't quite feel right. We have a rug much like this, and I stepped, and I took a step back, and I looked. Everything looked fine. I didn't understand what was going on. So then I went, and I sat down. I didn't think anything of it. A couple days go by. It happens again. I'm like, what in the world is going on? This went on for a good length of time. I'd step, I'd feel this thing, and then I swear I stepped in the exact same space again and never felt it. But every once in a while, it just felt off. And then we did, you know, as we all do with spring, the deep clean, right? We are picking up toys, we're picking up books, and my son is commenting that he can't find his favorite dinosaur book. It has gone missing, and we've looked everywhere. And so we've taken advantage of the deep clean, and I was like, you know what? Just out of curiosity, sure enough, there was a book. Not this book, obviously. This is Noah's Ark. But sure enough, the book. And it was much like this, very thin, very inconspicuous. You couldn't see it under the rug. It wasn't making a big bump, but it was just enough to make everything feel off every time I walk by it. And when it comes to life, that's kind of how peace tends to work. In most situations, everything seems peaceful, everything seems good, there's no alarm bells, but you walk into it and you walk into a situation or whatever, and you just feel like something is off, right? It could be you walk into work and everyone greets you as they always do and everything seems friendly, but you know, you have that one conversation that just kind of goes status quo, but it just feels different. And you maybe can't put your finger on it. This morning, as we are diving into our third key, the key of peace, one thing I want you to keep in mind is I want you to think about the book under the carpet. That everything might seem like it should, but something might feel a little off. When we talk about peace in the New Testament and throughout all Scripture, the easiest way to understand peace is it is the opposite of hostility. If you think of the things that cause you to lose peace, it's often the things that cause you stress and tension. Right? I talk about money and everyone loses their peace all of a sudden. I don't know too many people that have peace with money. Or you think about certain relationships, or you think about certain situations. There's certain things in our life that when we think about them or when we encounter them, the first thing we feel is hostility, aka we lose our peace. In the Old Testament, when a man or a woman had a really close friend, the friend, if they were close enough, was considered to be a man or woman of my peace, is what the literal language. So my friend would be a man of my peace. And this kind of relationship was marked by three things: love, care, and loyalty. And is not a coincidence that when you think of those three things, love, care, and loyalty, that when peace is gone in a relationship, it's typically because one of those three things has been violated. right? If we feel like someone doesn't care about us, then the relationship is going to start to deteriorate. If we feel like our loyalty has been violated, then the peace quickly starts to go away. Those three things become the bedrock of our relationships. And it's no coincidence that when we talk about God being the God of peace, and that he offers us a perfect peace, it's because when it comes to our relationship, God is endlessly loyal, he is endlessly caring, and he is endlessly loving. It's why when Jesus talks about in John 14, he says this, starting in verse 27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. The peace I give is a peace the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. The peace we find in God is like no other, because God is loving and caring and loyal like no other. And often when it comes to our peace and experiencing the peace of God, it is often because just like in our human relationships, in our relationship with God, one of those three things is not being upheld. We're not being loyal to God. That is the great criticism of the Israelite people, right? They kept bouncing around from gods to gods because they just wanted the instant pleasure instead of the long-term relationship that God offered. And so their loyalty was constantly being betrayed. They didn't care about God. They didn't love God and put him first. And because of these things, they started losing the peace that is found in God and God alone. And the challenge for us is if we think about it, it's very much the same thing. When we lose our peace, it's usually because we have a wrong relationship with money and it has cost us our relationship with God. Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace because of what he did that brought us peace between us and God. And to really exemplify this peace, we're actually going to be in Ephesians 2. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. This church is really unique because it's about 50-50 of Jewish believers and Gentile believers. And the reason this is really significant is because up until this point, Jews and Gentiles were hostile to one another. The Gentiles didn't understand why the Jews were so caught up in having to be circumcised and had all these rules and were so legalistic. And they just wanted to experience grace and peace and the things that are only found in God. But the Jews kept imposing these rules. On the flip side, the Jews couldn't understand how the Gentiles were coming because of their past, right? They weren't the chosen people. They didn't come from the right lineage. They made all these mistakes. How could you possibly serve our God? Because you have all this muck in your life. And so there's this tension. And Paul, writing to the Ephesians, addresses the tension. And starting in verse 14, he says this, Christ himself has been brought, Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility. He has taken where there's hostility before, he's removed it and replaced it with peace. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. Together, as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you, Gentiles, who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done. What Paul is describing was previously thought to be impossible. But as Christ has accomplished on the cross, his death has accomplished the impossible. And if Jesus' sacrifice and if what Jesus did was able to bring Jews and Gentiles together to not just meet together and be tolerant of each other, but actually bring them together with such closeness and unity that they actually became something new, then how much more can what Christ has accomplished on the cross accomplish something amazing in your life? Because what the byproduct, something that Paul's brought up a lot in this piece, is the byproduct of peace is unity. And the one thing I think we can agree on in our marriage is we could always use a little bit more unity. Our work environment could always use a little bit more unity. Our churches could all use a little bit more unity. And even though unity is not a fruit of the Spirit, is not one of our keys, it is a direct byproduct of when we have peace. But peace doesn't just happen. Jesus looked down on the world and he saw the problem. There is hostility between man and God, and that hostility was caused by sin. And no matter what you and I did, no matter what humanity could do, sin wasn't going away. It required a work of God. And Jesus, seeing the problem, elected to insert himself into the problem. And he didn't just bring peace. He made peace. He made it where it wasn't there before. And this is significant because then we take that idea that Jesus is a peacemaker, he is the prince of all peace, and then we look at his teaching in Matthew 5 where he says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. Some of your translations probably say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God or children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers. And there is a monumental difference between the two. So often, I think we strive to just be the peacekeepers, right? We just don't want to make waves. We just want to keep the peace. And so we do what needs to be done to keep the peace. The problem is that when the peace is gone, or when it starts to fade and hostility starts to rise up and tension starts to build, what often happens is people will not try to make peace. They'll settle for the illusion of peace. And this is where that feeling starts to come in. Because a peacekeeper will keep up appearances. They'll make sure that everything looks good. But it's like walking on the book under the carpet. It looks fine, but something is wrong. Something feels off. And what a peacekeeper will tend to do is they'll just keep adding stuff under the carpet. They'll just keep sweeping it under the rug, hoping that it will go away. And the problem is what happens is the bump starts to become noticeable. You can only fool yourself for so long. It has now become, not only is it you feel it, you can see it. And sometimes we don't see it, sometimes someone else does. As opposed to, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are willing to get their hands dirty and make peace where peace is gone. Blessed are those who are willing to insert themselves into the problem and deal with the problem. Identify what is causing the hostility and remove it and replace it with the peace that is found in God and God alone. Sometimes there's a season where we can be peacekeepers. There's nothing wrong with a peacekeeper as long as there's peace. But when the peace is gone, it's time to take off the hat and become a peacemaker. To be like your Savior, to be like Jesus, who we are called to imitate day in and day out, and make peace where there is none. And that can be really uncomfortable because as I'm saying that, you're probably thinking about some situations that are lacking peace. And you're like, oh, that's going to be fun. But I don't think Jesus looked down and saw what he was going to have to do and be like, boy, this is going to be easy. I can't wait to get on the cross. Can't wait to be scourged and have my beard ripped off my face. This is going to be great. No, Jesus paid the price. He got his hands dirty. He took on sin and death, the weight of the world, so you and I could have peace with God. And all he says in return is sometimes you're going to have to do the same. Because it has been with all of the keys we've talked about, the peacekeeper settles for the here and now. Right? I'm good with what is happening. I just keep the illusion because, and I'll deal with it later. The peacemaker says, no, I'm not going to just put up with the, I'm not going to settle for now peace and deal with the explosion when it comes. I see the explosion and I'm going to deal with it now. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers, because they will be called children of God. So what does it take to be a peacemaker? Well, sometimes it starts with making sure we've got some peace to share. And this is where you can't talk about peace without bringing up Philippians 4. You just can't. It's impossible. Philippians 4, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Pause. Peace starts with a flourishing relationship with God. And let me tell you, it is really hard to have a relationship with someone you don't talk to. You want more peace in your life? You need to get on your knees more. You need to be more constant in prayer. You need to be talking to your God and allow God to speak to you so that that relationship is good. So the love, the care, and the loyalty that I started with is flourishing and is flowing both ways. We need to have a relationship with the Prince of Peace. And then when we come into this situation where we need to be the peacemaker, it's not just putting our head down and imposing our will on the situation, but instead it is getting on our knees and saying, God, I recognize that there is hostility in this situation. I recognize that I need to be the peacemaker in this spot. God, give me your perspective. Show me what lasting peace looks like and show me what I'm going to have to do to get there. Because I have my ideas, but your will, your plan, your vision, your everything about you is better, so I want to do it your way. Because oftentimes, when there's hostility, we may know what the root is, but sometimes we really don't. But God does. God knows what the root of the tension is. God knows what the root of the hostility is. God knows exactly what the remedy is. And so if you want to be the ultimate peacemaker, it starts on your knees. God, show me what I need to do in this situation. And if you do, you pray to God about everything. Paul goes on to say this, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Not just one kind of peace, a peace that surpasses understanding. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The exact same words Jesus himself used. The peace I give you is going to guard your heart and your mind. Paul says if we pray and we seek God in every situation, then that peace that Jesus promised is ours for the experience. If you're willing to do the hard work and make peace, then you'll experience lasting peace. And so that is my challenge for you this week. Do not settle for being a peacekeeper, but take inventory of what is going on in life and where can you make peace? Who do you need to make peace with? And maybe as you're sitting here, you're honest, you're like, I got to start with God. Because I need that peace that surpasses understanding before I get into this situation. And if I'm not right with God, I'm not going to experience it. So that's my starting point. Good, you have a starting point. Make peace with God. Make that deep connection with Him. And then as you pray and as you connect and as you allow Him to lead and guide you, then allow Him to show you how to make peace in the situations in your life that peace needs to be made. And don't do it on your own. Don't do it your way. Do it His way. Let's pray before we dive into discussion. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that you give us a peace that surpasses understanding. Jesus, I thank you for that promise that your peace will guard our hearts and our minds. God, I thank you that I pray that we would work on our love and our care and our loyalty towards you. That we would have a flourishing, rich relationship with our Heavenly Father. And through that, and through the peace that we experience, through that we could be the peacemakers that our world needs. Because our world is lacking in peace right now. And God, you have called your church to be the bringers of peace, to be the peacemakers. So God, whether it's boldness, whether it is concern or wisdom, whatever the situation may be, help us, Lord, to know what the next step is, to be diligent enough to stick with it and do what it takes to make peace in our families, in our relationship, in our church, in our work, wherever it is that you have us, wherever it is that we feel hostility, God, may we seek to remove it and replace it with peace, just as you did for each and every one of us when you died on the cross, Jesus. Be with us as we discuss, be with us as we go. Holy Spirit, fill us and lead us as we go and as we dive into your word. I pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.